Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to my home right here in the most awesome city in the world, Houston, Texas. And you can see right outside my window here that it's lightning. There it goes. Storming here pretty good. Rain's coming down fairly steadily right now outside, but don't let that bother you because here about 10 minutes, it's going to be dark out there. So you won't be able to see anything going besides the lightning. Welcome to the program tonight and happy Father's Day to all those dads. Those papas, those fathers that have put everything on the line and just go out and work and sling sweat and do what they can to keep the family together. And I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody. This is one of those that we need to remember. Sometimes Father's Days are bittersweet because the fathers have moved on to another world and are no longer with us. Or maybe you didn't have such a great father, or maybe you're distant from your father. There's all kinds of different things that can make you kind of have a different approach about Father's Day. But I do want to just tip my hat to all the dads today. And don't use that one day of the year as the Hallmark day to love and care and hug the neck and just tell your dad that you love him. That should be an everyday event. So do that for your dads and your mothers and your kids. Dads, make sure you don't go to bed tonight without loving on your children and telling them that you love them. But tonight we have a great show, and you're going to be able to get involved with it two or three different ways. I appreciate you allowing me a couple weeks to take off. It wasn't that I wanted to, but I had a couple cancellations, and that's what happens in the live radio feed. But I got to rest up a little bit, and we're kicking back off with live shows tonight with probably one of the most awesome that we're going to have in a long time. So I'm looking forward to this. You can get involved by getting right on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, and I'm looking at that right now. Looks like we have some viewers on there, several different avenues on the different platforms you can get on. Also, you can look at us or contact us through my cell phone, 832-396-6525. I'm already starting to get texts about the program tonight. and then you can also call into the radio station, listen to Thomas's voice and get to hear him answer the phone, BBS radio. And that's 888-627-6008. Any of those ways is perfect, but we'd like for you to get involved. And if our guest has people in his inner circle that wants to contact him and be live on the show tonight and ask questions or give a comment or a thought, feel free. And TJ will patch you right through live. You can talk to me and talk to our guest tonight live, literally, and I mean literally, around the world. So hopefully we have lots of people listening tonight. You know, I was watching just a few minutes ago, and I don't know if our guest was watching this or not, but the U.S. Open golf tournament was taking place, and they had a rain delay where they was going about an hour and a half. And it was amazing that there were so many people that was in that top leadership list that after that rain delay, and they all come back to the golf course, and they were squeegeeing off the greens and all of that stuff. And then it started pouring down later on, but they finished it. Somebody that wasn't even in the hunt started a second wind because of that delay, it gave them, and let me chase this rabbit around the bush, okay? Gave them a chance to stop and pause. Think, refocus, concentrate, get a new mindset, refuel his tank. And on that 18th hole, did I think a 68 or 80 some foot birdie putt to seal the victory, and came from so far behind in the last few holes that it was just awesome. And JJ Spahn just kind of reminded me, what does it really take to be successful in today's world? Not to be popular. Popular, all you have to do is knock on enough doors, send out enough emails. It's a sales call. It's a numbers game. You just keep on doing it eventually. You can sell millions of anything online if you spend millions online to advertise. But how do you know, what's some of those things that demand, command, and requires you to be able to be successful? And I think the first thing is, I love this term, you got to sling some sweat. Hard work. Success is not a gift. I promise you that. It is hard work. And don't believe in luck. Don't believe in chance. Don't believe in, oh, they got the big break that allowed them. No, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, it's slinging sweat and hard work. And the second thing is, you have to be patient. Patience, if you're losing patience, then you're losing the war. If you can't keep your patience in line, you're losing the battle to begin with. And then you need to be able to be willing to sacrifice. If you don't sacrifice for what you want, then what you want becomes the sacrifice. And then consistency. As I was watching the US Open right there on that TV screen right there, consistency. Shot after shot after shot after shot. And if you watch it, you watch the highlights of it, you'll see all the four or five top players on that leaderboard start falling because they were getting mad. They were double bogeying like I never seen. They were throwing their clubs on the ground. They were bending their clubs, believe it or not, in pro golf. And consistency is what transforms average into excellence. Consistency. That's the same thing when you go in the office tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You can rise to the top in any business, in any type of work, if you'll just show up and work, just be there and never not be there and sling sweat while you're there. And you have to be disciplined. Motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. And it's a whole different thing. You have to be disciplined. Even Tiger Woods or a Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and you can go through all the big stars of all the big teams were out there doing shots time after time after time. Hundreds of free throws, pop, 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 pop. Golfers do the same thing. They're out there practicing every day. Their putts are chipped, their drives. And it takes that discipline to be able to do it. Some people in this world, that younger generation is still wet behind the ears. They want to rise to the top by just getting that college degree and going to the office. You have to put in the work. You have to bleed a little bit. You have to and put a little bit of sweat and guts on it. And you have to be determined and not give up and keep on keeping on. And then you have to have self-confidence, not cockiness, not an attitude, not arrogance, but you have to have self-confidence. Confidence is not like they're going to like me when I walk in the room. Confidence is I'll be okay even if they don't like me. I'm going to be confident in the skin that I have. Took me a lot of years to learn that. And then you also have to have a positive attitude. A positive attitude. A positive attitude won't solve your problems, but a positive attitude is going to annoy all those people that don't like you for your efforts. You have to have a positive attitude. And then you have to stay focused. Every day, stay focused. I tell the people that I supervise at Baylor College of Medicine, which is just right across the window there, that if you come in and work hard for 2 hours, 2 hours straight, and stay off your cell phones and stay out of the snack shop, stay out of the cafeteria and sling sweat for 2 hours, you can play for six, the rest of the six, and be the best that we got. But most people don't know what it's like to stay focused for just a few hours. And in that focus, this is a little bonus tip. You have to find your sweet spot. What's your sweet spot of the day? What's the time of the day that you do your best? Anesthesiologists, here I work in the medical field, have less errors early in the morning than they do late in the afternoon. So if I ever want surgery, I want to be one of those first two or three patients the anesthesiologist puts me under. I want to be one of those first two or three. They're focused. That's their sweet spot. They're awake and they're ready to go to work. Later on in the day, different things happen, events happen, things happen on their cell phone, and they kind of get distracted. And we do the very same thing. What's your sweet spot? When you find it, then block off that time and stay focused. You know, positions are temporary, ranks and titles are limited, but the way you do your job and the way you treat people while you do your job is going to be remembered forever. And I think the enemy, and if you believe in a higher realm and a lower realm of heaven and hell and God and the devil, that the devil is always attacking. And when he is attacking so hard, he doesn't attack a person so hard if there wasn't something special inside of you. You can lean into the camera right now. Thieves don't break in to empty homes. And if the devil's messing with you and trying to keep you offline, out of focus, that means there's something extra special inside of you. You are a treasure and a masterpiece. And we're going to be talking to a guest tonight. TJ, go ahead and bring him in. Probably the most awesome looking guest we've ever had. Johnny Cafaro is an author of a book called It's My Life. And I think maybe he has taken what it took me a few minutes and has come up with a program, a lifestyle, a game plan, a blueprint for each and every one of us listening tonight. Because it wasn't handed to him. He had to go out and work for it. And he found out the wrong way, the right way, the proper way, and the moral way to be able to do it. I'm going to let you know all the way from the awesome state of Utah, where it was 98 degrees today in Utah. I want to welcome to the program, Johnny Cafaro. Johnny, welcome. How are you?
I am magical. Thank you so much for having me. I love that you just
Magical.
oh,
Whoa.
yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, everything we say after I am, we become, right? And so I think it's the two most magical words. And so anything I say after I am
Do
magical.
you believe that right out of the chute? Do you believe that when, like, going back to the golfer's illustration, do you believe that when those golfers step back, they visualize what that ball is going to do once that club hits? Do you believe that
100%.
impact that when I start off tomorrow morning, if I say I'm going to have an awesome day, I am going to be superb today, what kind of impact did that have on who we are?
I mean, it changes everything. It changes your mindset. It's because whatever we think about will come about. And I think, like you just said, golfers, Olympian athletes, they visualize the finish line. They put themselves in that position. They visualize it. And I'm like, instead of I say good morning, because I think words have meaning, I say grand rising. So I'm going to have a grand rising day. and I'm going to put
Wow.
myself in so much an energetic and a magical format. And it just changes your whole thing. Because I think when you're in a down frequency or in a down thought, why can't we just change the channel like we do on the TV and change the thought, which will change the outcome of our frequency?
You know, I have people that text me, some of the people that I supervise, and they have to, like if they're working from home, they will text me, "Hey, I'm here." Or I have two or three that just text me or emails me morning, not good morning, just
Right?
morning. And I always capitalize good
Yeah.
morning and send it
Yeah.
back. It's like, wait, morning? Sure, it's morning. Are you just giving me the time of the day? Or is it going to be a great morning, a good
Yeah.
morning, an awesome
Yeah.
morning? I believe that makes all the
100%.
difference.
It really does. I mean, it sets your whole day up going through that. If you're like, when people just say, I'm fine, like, why are you just fine? Like, we are breathing, we get to experience life. And so, like, I am great, I am magical, because don't you want to be that? So say it,
Yeah.
speak it, be it.
And I think most of the people that say fine normally is meaning there's something wrong and I just don't care to tell you.
Exactly.
The second chapter of my second book is titled I'm Fine and Neither Are You, because that's exactly what it means.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell us about your life, but hold up your book so everybody can go ahead and start
Yeah.
buying this on Amazon. There
No,
it
this is
is.
the
Look at it.
book.
I was
Kind of a
hoping
little
for the
different
hair, but
look.
you've got yourself pulled back. It's My Life, the Caffaro Way, a path to integrated personal reinvention.
Yeah.
Because this isn't just a book about your life. It's not
No.
just a memoir.
No, not
It's
even
how
close.
to rewire, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's given me pathways to be able to fail. And to be able to succeed hardships and be able to put me in a place where my way, it worked for me, but it's not going to be working for you. And we don't want a cookie cutter way where people are going to say, hey, this is what you need to do. This is what you need. It's you have your own set of guidelines, your own set of rules, and your own path. So why not give you principles to help you find your path and find your way? And so we're going to find the Williams way, right? Your way is going to be completely different than mine, but there's principle-based truths that we can all align with. And so I'm not giving you rules or things. This is what you need to do. I give my story some failure, some wins, and some accomplishments, and say, hey, these are the principles. These are some introspective questions that you should be asking, but find your own path, find your own way.
And in those principles, I think you start the book out, if I remember right, with five top level principles that you carry throughout that.
Yeah, so we have the five principles of being. So we are the authors of our own story. And I think that's just so powerful because no one's going to take away your power. If you have a bad morning, if something is happening or some catastrophic event, don't give anybody the pen to write your story. You are the author of your own story.
What if I don't like my story right now, Johnny?
Then
What if the
read.
people that's listening saying, "Hey, wait, I've gone through hell and I'm still in hell. How do I rewrite this?"
You find new ways to be able to create different pathways to be able to find joy again. I think that's the biggest thing, is finding, being okay with yourself and your circumstance and getting yourself out of that muddle by putting yourself in positive affirmations, positive sequences, positive things that are going to help you grow a little bit. Because I mean, I started off, I mean, I had three hip replacements within 4 years, and my life was, it was hard. It was one of the hardest experiences. I didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I could be this really depressed man living in my parents' basement, living on a wheelchair. But I had that determination that I wanted more for myself. I wanted more for my children. I wanted to create, I wanted to find out what my why was. And I think once you can find out your why, it's going to give you that more to motivation to put yourself in a better position and better place to be able to start like finding the pieces of the puzzle that you've been missing to be able to create a better story.
Now, your hip issues, which is your Achilles heel, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
But your Achilles hip, but came to you when I believe it was Halloween 1 year. How old were you
Yeah, no, thanks
when
for
you
asking.
noticed this? Is that when it first came on?
Yeah, so I was 5 years old and I was
5 years old.
yeah, and I
No
was tri
5-year-old has problems with their hips.
no, I mean, it was a very weird. When I was running and I just face planted it, my hip came out of socket and I didn't know anything better. I thought I tripped over something and I didn't know that my hip completely came out of socket. And so then I run 20 feet and my hip comes out again. And I'm like, okay, like that one hurt. Something's wrong. Like, I don't understand it. So my dad comes and says, hey, like, we're done trick or treating. Like, you're done. And that was like my first kind of defeat of like failure because my dad told us stories. He grew up in the Bronx and he filled pillowcases up full of candy. And I was so determined to fill up the pillowcase that I couldn't do it. And so I just felt the defeat. And so then they bring me to Primary Children's Hospital the next week, and I got diagnosed with a very rare hip disease called leg calf Perthes disease. It's 4 out of every 100,000 babies get it, and it's not a buff blood supply. If you're not familiar with the medical world, it's not enough blood supply went to the femoral head, so it would grew deformed. So instead of a ball, it grew almost like a tomahawk. So that's why it was slipping out of socket. And so it's even more rare, 10% to get them in both hips. And I got the disease in both hips. So then I had to wear some braces on my legs from kindergarten to second grade. But I mean, I tried really hard to run fast around my neighborhood. The braces never came off, unfortunately, like Forrest Gump. But yeah, it started at a young age. And it definitely was my Achilles heel, Achilles hip. I like that. I'm going to start using that. But I always was so determined to never let it stop me. I put those braces on and I still played football. I put them over my football pads. I still went roller skating. I still put myself because I didn't see them as a hindrance. I saw them as a way to be better, to grow, to just, it's going to be a part of me. It's going to be a part of my body and I'm going to have them fix me or help me. But I never said, woe is me, or I was sad about it. The very first day I got him on, I jumped on my bike and I started pedaling. And my mom freaked out and called the surgeon and he's like, or the doctor. And she's like, is he supposed to be riding his bike? Like, I don't know what he's doing. Like, are we okay? She's like, let him be normal. Let him do everything that he can do so he can be able to fit back in. And so I just, from a very young age, I just had that never quit mentality. It was always going to be working out for me. There was going to be something or some way that everything will be okay. And then I think as I got older and I started learning terminology, it's like everything was happening for me, not to me. And I think that's where we got to get out of that mindset is nothing's happening to you. Even if the door shuts on a job interview or they don't call you back or you get divorced or something along the line that's like feels like it's something's against you. I think it's also the universe or God or a higher power watching out for you, maybe shutting that door so you can be able to go to something. Maybe not getting invited to that party because those people are not having your best good or interest. And so I think I learned from a young age that like stay positive because like the miracles of God, they open the doors if you just keep believing.
Was it difficult as a young child to deal with this type of disease and braces? Did you ever experience the type of meanness that kids can get involved with bullying or making fun of or anything like that
Yeah,
during that?
that was actually one of my chapters in the book. I mean, it was very hard bullying. I mean, kids are ruthless. They're mean. They can either make you or break you, or you don't want to go to school and maybe close you up. But yeah, I mean, I got called so many different names under the sun. And yeah, I came home crying a lot, and my mom would try to help come up with scenarios, bless her heart, to try to hide the braces so I wouldn't get made fun of. She even came to school and did a presentation on them to be able to help the kids like have a better understanding so like they just wouldn't make fun of me anymore. And it hurts. It hurts to be made fun of. I mean, nobody likes to be bullied. Nobody likes to be made fun of. Everybody wants to fit in. Everybody wants to be seen. And I think when you have some deformity or something wrong with you that doesn't mix or fit in with the crowd, it's just you're a bullseye, you're a target, you're something that anybody can make fun of. But I started learning that a lot of the bullies were having issues within their own home and they didn't know how to take it out, so they would go and take it out on me or somebody else. And I always tried to stay positive. I always tried to be like, it's okay, and or try to just turn it back onto them and ask them. And there was a scenario in the book I talk about that there was this one boy and he was crying and he was sad and he was one that bullied me a lot. And I came up to him and I was just like, hey, what's wrong? Are you okay? And at first he's like, why are you talking to me? Like, and he's just like, my dad moved away, my parents got divorced, and I don't know what to do. And I was like, hey, I'm here for you. And it was just powerful just to be able to show kindness when I wasn't shown kindness, and it just be able to help somebody in need. And so from that day forward, he became my friend and actually like stood up for me in front of all the people, and people stopped doing that. And man, I didn't have to go talk to him. I didn't have to, I mean, go and consult with him and be there for him. But I don't know, there's just something inside my heart that I have such a big heart, even though that like it kept breaking between the bullying and all that, that I would always find some kind of hope and some kind of joy in it. And like, man, there's a saying in the Chinese proverb where a porcelain glass breaks and they fill the cracks with gold. And so every time your heart breaks or something breaks within you, you can be able to get stronger and fill it with gold if you allow it, if you don't stay in the mess. And so I think that's where I've learned it. And so my heart's pretty big because there's been a lot of breaks in it, but it's a lot stronger as well going through that.
Did you find that hurt people hurt people?
Yep. Oh,
Yeah.
100%. I mean, yeah, I mean, you look back at it and you see the people and you see the dad who was domestic violence to one of the kids. You see 5 years down the road that the dad was in prison now because he beat, and like, and then the bully comes in and beats us. Like, it's, you see it all around. Hurt people, and healed people, heal people, right? And I mean, it's a great saying, but like, it just, you don't know anything that's going on in somebody's life. The only thing you do truly know is what they tell you. If they don't tell you anything, you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, there's a lot underneath that surface.
There's a lot. And I mean, we have a close circle, then we have an outer circle, then an outer circle, and then you have social media. And so people think they know your life through social media in that aspect. But I think it's a lot different and a lot. It's, but I think as a society, I feel like we're supposed to just show the highlight reels. And I think that's why I wanted to write this book, because this book isn't a highlight reel. It's not the wins and all the amazing stuff that I've done. It's the lowlights. It's the hard times. It's the darkness. It's the things that put me in despair, things that were, I was struggling with, addicted to be able to say like, man, I am not okay, but I'm going to try to find a way to be okay.
How therapeutic was it, Johnny, for you to, and how reluctant were you? Because you're brutally honest
Yeah.
with some of the things you did. It's like,
Yeah.
whoa, you really
Yeah.
came right out, and
Yeah.
you let everybody into some dark closets.
Yep.
How long did it take you to really think about that? You for sure? That you really wanted to, I mean, that was some major stuff.
That was a great question. It took me 2.5 years to write the book, and every chapter was like peeling back a layer, and how honest and raw do I want to be, and how much do I want to put out there, and do I fully just want to let it all go and see where the cards lay? And very therapeutic. It felt like I was having a therapy session every time I sat down to my laptop and
Yeah.
reliving those moments again and again, and figuring out, okay, like, wow, like, can I forgive myself for that? Can I put the shame and guilt away? Can I? And I was very reluctant at times to share the full and honest, raw story, my addictions, my cheating, the divorces, and putting myself in different scenarios that weren't good for me. And, but I also wanted to know that people, that they have like a lighthouse, that they have somebody, if they're doing the same thing and they don't have a way out, that they're not alone. Because I felt so alone. I felt I couldn't tell anybody that I was addicted to Adderall or to all these pain medications for my hip, because that's just looked down upon. Or I couldn't tell family members or stuff that the church, the Mormon church that I was like that didn't sit well with me because I couldn't talk to them because they would just say, hey, it's okay, just go a little bit deeper, read your scriptures. And I couldn't tell people that I was like cheating because I just didn't feel like anybody would be safe landing spot. I would be judged, I would be persecuted, I would be, because I just felt like when you're doing those things, you feel like you're not the best person in the world and no one's gonna love you and no one's, and like you just said, the devil plays in my head. Don't tell anybody. No one's gonna listen. No one's gonna love you. No one's gonna help you. Like they're just gonna disown you. And
So do
so
you find yourself feeling alone in a
I was,
room full of people?
yeah. And then, and
Yeah.
I'm the most energetic, outgoing, loudest person around. Not loudest, but yeah, okay, I'm pretty loud, but
But successful.
yeah, successful. But
But you
I
still
felt
felt alone in
so
here.
alone, so alone, so shattered, so dark, so like just a hollow shell. And but the freedom that came from writing it all and just saying, here you go, world. And I have nothing to hide, nothing to hide behind, nothing to say, well, are you sure he said, like I laid it out and nobody can say that I haven't said it all. And so I think that's where, but it was scary. I'm gonna be honest, like very, very scary to put it out because you also want to be liked. Like we, our egos, we have
Yeah.
that. We want to be liked. We want to be adored, loved, seen, heard, appreciated. And I know the book's not going to be for everybody. And I'm going to be looked at in different ways and different spotlights. But I feel like if people can get to the root of it and understand it and have a better understanding that I'm not, I'm, my stories are just stories to show you how to help create your plan.
Yeah.
It's not just giving you just memoirs or life tips. It's just saying, hey, some of these principles helped me and they helped make me a better person. But my stories, maybe you can relate and maybe you can't. And if you can't relate, then it's okay. But the principles are all there.
I've related to every one of them. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. On the other side of this break, Johnny, I want to find out how hard it was for you to take that mask completely off,
Yeah.
and then what kind of freedom and weight was lifted off you. We'll start back on that. And then I want to get to a couple more of these principles because these are
Perfect.
great, even if we get to the actual states of being. I don't know if we'll
Yeah.
get to those or not, but I want to get to these principles because they're so
Awesome.
powerful. We'll be right
Appreciate it.
back. 888-627-6008. Jump in. And while we're on this little minute, 22-second commercial, you have perfect time to get on Amazon right now and buy the book, It's My Life by Johnny Cafaro. We'll be right back. Hang with us.
Get ready for a life-changing journey. From the best-selling author of Shattered by the Darkness and When the Dark Clouds Come, Dr. Gregory Williams is back with his highly anticipated third book, Embracing Your Scars, Learning How to Turn Life's Pain into Life's Power and Purpose. Have you ever wondered how to transform your struggles into strength? Do you want to stop hiding behind the pain, the heartache, and instead learn how to turn those scars into the very fuel that propels you towards greatness? If you do, then this book is for you. In Embracing Your Scars, Dr. Williams shows you how to take the negative experiences of your past and turn them into the very source of your future success. Don't miss out, because your transformation begins here. The book is available soon on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and wherever great books are sold.
That's right. You can get those books, but I want you to get Johnny's tonight. I tell you what, you can get mine some other day. Don't worry about that. But Johnny Cafaro, the Cafaro Way, It's My Life. Hold it up again because this is just an
Yeah.
awesome book. And there it is. And well, let's see what the back cover looks like. I
Yes,
bought the
sir.
Kindle edition. And you know, the thing about Kindle is I was reading it within seconds.
Yeah,
Boom. It
that's
was right
great.
there. And I love, Johnny, how you ended each chapter with kind of okay, now it's your life.
Yeah.
You know, even though the book's, it's my life, now it's yours. What do you want to do with this information in your life? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no, I just talk about it's my integrated personal reinvention plan. It helps you review and ponder, brainstorm, integrate the principles that you're taught, and record it down. So most help books, they give you a plan, they tell you what to do. I don't want you to, I want you to create your own. I want you to create your own roadmap to be able to help better reinvent your life or reevaluate your life. It's almost, you don't need to reinvent it. Like I want people to refine their lives at the same time too. If people are very success, me and my brother were having a conversation. He's like, Johnny, I feel like I'm really good. I don't need to reinvent my life. And I was like, well, what about refining it? He's like, I could always do that. I could always be better. And you know what I mean? And so it's like going through these principles and creating your own plan and pondering it and answering these introspective questions. It just puts you in a different framework, a different perspective, and gives you a better idea of where you're lacking and where you could be able to succeed more.
And how important is it, or is it pinnacle, that if you're not honest, you're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. You're
Yep.
hurting the ultimate outcome of who you really are, because I think that's the key that I liked about the way your approach was. Hey, wait, I had to stand in front of the mirror and look at myself.
Yeah.
Who am I really?
Yep.
And if you don't get to that point, how can we ever decide how we're going to get anywhere else down the road without
Yeah.
first finding out where am I?
Yep.
From a GPS perspective, you can't get to the restaurant 10 miles down the road on GPS until the GPS knows where you're at.
Yeah.
And same way with success, right? I mean, you have to figure out who am I and what am I?
Well, I think I had like now I ask that, who am I? Who am I without being the dad? Who am I without being a senior manager at a company? Who am I without being a religious person? Who am I? And that's where I stripped it all down and I said, okay, am I a good person? Am I doing things that make me a good person? Currently, no, I'm not doing good things. And so I'm like, okay, how do I change that to be able to say that I am a good person? And then putting myself in is like, I am light. I am love. So if I'm those things, am I doing those things to be able to give back to the world or be a light to the world? And I knew that I was doing things that were putting me in darkness. I think you can either level up or level down in this world. I look at the game of life as a game. And I was doing things that were leveling me down. And I had to take a hard look in the mirror, like we talked about before the break. And I said, finally, let's take off the mask. Let's just be who Johnny Cafaro is. I am who I am, and that is enough. I don't need the accolades of man. I don't need the accolades from corporation, from other people, from women. And it put me in a better mindset because I needed to be there for my children, and I could see that I wasn't. And I was chasing the almighty dragon. I was chasing happiness. I was chasing a destination that you're never going to get there. And I finally realized that there's no end result to anything in this world. It's the best is in enjoying the journey, and it's stopping and smelling the roses. It's the laughter with your kids. It's the sun rays on your face. It's the wind against your hair. It's the small and simple things that bring you back into like I am spirit, like I am spiritual, I am divine, I am a presence, I am having this humanly godly experience in this world, and I get to choose to be a good person.
Do you feel that your insight of that and the wisdom that you have, because it could have been that as a child, you were having difficulty doing things that every child was used to doing, like walking?
Yeah.
And for you to do that, did that start to, like you said, did that let you start recognizing, hey, wait, to have the sun on your face, to
Yeah.
have the wind blow through your hair, those kinds of things, did it make you more appreciative of
Yeah.
when you could be up and walking normally?
Oh yeah, I mean, I was stuck in a hospital for, I mean, three hip replacements within 4 years, and to be able to be in a hospital consecutively for so much time in physical therapy. And so I'm like, I could stop. I'm like, oh my gosh, the sun feels so good. Like, wow, I can walk upstairs. I'm so appreciative of stairs. I'm not in pain. And But my thing is I also feel like from a young age, like you said, wearing those braces and hard for me, I feel like I had a chip on my shoulder that I had to be able to create this mask so I could always prove to others, hey, I can do the best. Like you, like just watch, you'll see, and created all these masks as I'm the good guy or the never tired guy or the always funny guy or the always I'll show up 110% guy. And like it was cracking because you can't wear the mask, those many masks for that long. And it was cracking. I was cracking. And I also was not taking care of my body at the same time. Like taking all those pharmaceuticals, all those Adderalls that help me have that. Like I don't fault myself anymore because the pain, no, if you don't know chronic pain, then you can't really understand what people go through. Every step that I was having in my life was excruciating pain. It was sending jaggers up my leg, my hip, my back, my neck, and like every time I had sleep. And so I didn't sleep well at all. I'd probably get 2 hours of sleep. So then I would take an Adderall to help me like focus, stay focused. And then as I would come down off the Adderall, I would take a tramadol or a painkiller to be able to help the pain. Or taking Xanax for anxiety as I was like, and I wasn't eating right. I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't caring about what my body on the inside was because all I had to do was try to get to that next step without pain or without, and I always had to put a smile on my face because I was in the medical industry for most of my career, working with surgeons selling hip and knee replacements, and you always have to be on in the operating room and making sure that you have those answers correctly. And I feel like I was just cracking, and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I took a full step back. I'm like, what can I do? What is out there for me to help me understand and go deep within? And so I started meditation, I started breath work. I started sound healing. I started trying plant medicine down in Costa Rica, like Aaron Rodgers did. I did plant medicine called ayahuasca, which helped me unlock the hip pain where I was stored emotional trauma. And it put me in a different space where, hey, you need to start doing yoga now and perfecting your craft, like you just
Okay,
talked.
so emotional trauma was you pivoted that to your hip pain?
Absolutely.
Okay, open that can of worms because I have in my body all the time unbelievable excruciating pain with Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's just unbelievable, and every day, every second, and I won't take medicine. But now tell me about the emotional trauma that you say, hey, wait, that could be the source or the cause of some of the pain. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, no, so emotional trauma goes into, so any kind of emotion that we feel, if we don't sit with it and heal it, it goes into our body as an emotional response. And so if your knee pain is actually not just knee pain, there's an emotional trauma or emotional abuse or emotional something trigger that has something to do with it. And then
So
if
it
you do,
puts fuel on the pain. It's gasoline.
exactly. And it actually brings it forward to the surface to be able to say, hey, this needs recognition. Will you sit long enough and have it like be in this pain to see what it is? Because our left side is our feminine side, our right side is our masculine side. And so if something's on your left side, it's okay. There's something in the feminine, maybe a mother wound, maybe a toxic trait with an old girlfriend. There was something along those lines, or your father or your grandfather or just your own stuff or friends. And so these emotional wounds or traumas can play in the body. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Absolutely. I know him. Yes.
Okay,
Andrew Luck.
yeah,
Yes.
it's an amazing book, and it brought me to so much clarity saying that men, we hold a lot of our trauma into our hips. That's because we're not as flexible, right, as women in their hips, because we feel a lot of shame and guilt and all these different things, and we store it in our hips. And mine specifically was in my left hip where it's feminine energy. And so I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to sit with this and realize, maybe this was past lives. Maybe this is old girlfriends. Maybe this is old wives, two ex-wives. But it just gives you a better understanding if you know emotional trauma or emotional triggers that you can be able to sit with and have a better answer with it.
Do men have more difficulty dealing with this, and they will reach out to different areas to self-medicate, not literally drugs, but
No.
pleasures,
Yeah.
things of that order. Did you get involved in that world as far as, hey, wait, the pain's so bad, and you found yourself any type of enjoyment you can get out of anything that felt good, it was all right.
100%. I think we as men don't have safe spaces to be able to speak about
Oh,
what we're going through.
yeah.
It's you drink a protein shake, you eat a steak, and you go lift some weights and you'll be okay. And that's furthest from the truth because it was one of the most surreal experiences when I said to myself, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we're allowed to say that at times because there's not a space for us men to be able to know that we're not okay at times. And you're right, I tried to find any kind of satisfaction, any kind of relief through any kind of physical pleasure, any kind of mental pleasure, anything, just because I was trying to seek something that I had no idea what it even was, how I was even feeling, because it's not really discussed anywhere out there for us to be able to, like, unless you are going to therapy regularly and having these discussions and saying, therapist, like, this is what I'm feeling. Can you help me? There's not a lot of, like, men don't talk about it, men. Like, it's like the code, like, you're just good. Like, men don't have deep conversations to be able to help each other. They're just like, hey, bro, like, how's your day? That's awesome. You know what I mean? That's like the bro talk. And it's like, but how are you? Are you doing okay? Like, and I think that was the scapegoat was women, alcohol, it was medication, it was different kinds of medication that like would numb or get me into different or a situation where I wouldn't have to think about anything and be in this fantasy, which was so fake and facade that I could just forget for a second. Like if I
Yeah.
could just forget my life for just a second, it put me in a different space. And
So it put you up here, but then all of a sudden, how quick did it take you to just absolutely bottom down?
oh, the second that any of that highness went away, like you're triple low. Like you
Yeah.
went even lower when the medication ran out, when you left the woman's room, when you stopped doing any of the things, if you stopped working out, like all these different things, it just added to it. So I'm like, what am I doing? Like this is killing me slowly. And I'm only 36, and I felt like I was living the life of a 70-year-old. The
Yeah, just
hips.
wait till you get my age.
Yeah,
But did you find yourself also on that proverbial rat wheel of success and work? If I become more successful, I'll be better. I'll do better. This will go away. I'll climb that ladder, and it's just a never ending. Who was it? Lily Tomlin said, "Hey, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat."
yeah.
But you just keep on spinning and spinning and spinning. It's totally out of control.
My career was blossoming,
Yeah.
booming. It
The
was like,
striker, right?
yeah, Stryker. And I was the senior manager over the whole downstream hip division, over a $2 billion portfolio, launching hip stems, creating all these great things, these programs. And then, like, I started being really big on LinkedIn and social media and consulting for the medical industry. I was like, wow, like, my career, my profession is just booming, but my physical, my personal life is just like tanking out. And I kind of not relate it to him, but like think about when Tiger Woods was winning in the 90s, late 90s and 2000s, when he was absolutely crushing it. Like, but his personal life was like in shambles, but nobody knew about it, right? Like until it finally just broke. But like I think when you're as a man, you're taught to perform, to perform, to perform, but not to have any emotion. So your personal life takes a toll. Your children, my ex-wife's, they took a toll on the way I was living. But in the world's society, in the world's eye view, you're successful. And like, I love what you're talking about. What does success look like to you? And it doesn't look like climbing a corporate ladder for me. It doesn't look like having a private jet or a Bentley or a Rolls-Royce or a cool Rolex watch. Success means, are you being a good person? Are you starting off with being good to yourself? Are you opening a door for somebody? Are you smiling? Are you being able to be charitable for the things that you do have? Are you lifting people up where you stand? Or are you trying to grease the ladder so nobody else can come up?
Yeah.
I think that's what success really means to me, is helping people along and lifting them up where you stand.
Early in my early college years, I got to go to a John Maxwell seminar, and that's when he was really just coming out. He's the author of all these leadership books, and he was talking about climbing that ladder, that you need to always reach back and help somebody else up the ladder too. And I've never forgotten that. I think that's half the battle. And you know, us men, where can we go? And are you have a game plan in your career as an author and a speaker and workshop leader and all the things that you do with the book to create a place where men can have a safe spot to be able to talk?
Yeah,
Is that
so I
something in the
actually
back of your mind?
no, we've already done one. So I've already done
Tell me about it.
a men's circle. We had a lot of people come on about beginning of April, and I just put it out there. I wanted people once a month to be able to have a place where men can be able to just come talk and have an
I want to be part of
understanding.
that.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'll send you the invite. And then I also want to be able to create like a retreat, like a physical place, like a
Oh,
2-day
wouldn't that be
event.
awesome?
And so I wanted to start it off small with like the online to see how many people do it. You can go to the website, thecaferaway.com, and there's a men's group section on there that you can fill out. And so then, but like, I also want to be able to have like a retreat in Costa Rica where people can come in and sit down and for have that week and be able to just be men. And, or if it doesn't need to just be men, it could be people that have things that they're going on in their life that they can be able to cleanse on the inside, farm to table food, come sound bath healing, breath work, journaling, integration, being able to put their thoughts in and having a safe space, because I don't think there's a lot of safe spaces out there that people can be heard. It's like this factory where, yeah, that's great. Okay, here's a pill, take this. Thanks, next. Instead of like truly understanding people's, but yeah, it was really cool to be able to start that men's group back in April and then continue it forward. And then having these workshops and retreats and speaking engagements that I just want to be able to come out and be raw and truthful and authentic.
Well, I tell you, we're out of time. We didn't even get to the first principle. Show your book one more
Yep.
time.
And appreciate
And
it.
there it is. It's my life. You need to get this right now.
Yep.
Everybody go on Amazon. And the website is
Thecaferaway.com.
The Cafaro Way, CAFFARO
Yep.
dot com. The Cafaro Way. And Johnny, I would love to have you come back.
Yeah,
We can get
absolutely.
through a couple more of these principles,
Yeah.
and I want to talk. There's so many things I want to chew the fat with you on,
Absolutely.
and keep up the good work. May the success of the book just go to number one, and you
Appreciate
start
it.
getting the right people, the right hits at the right time,
Yep.
and that it just takes off in a wonderful way. And as we talked about all through this hour, that if it positively changes people's lives and you make that impact, doesn't that give you a reason to get out of bed every morning?
Absolutely.
Doesn't
If I can
that,
just help
isn't
one
that
person.
awesome to be able to know, hey, I'm going to try to change one person's life today? Have you found that with people that have read the book and contacted you?
I mean, it's beautiful to be able to get messages and comments and just letters saying, hey, your book really impacted me and really gave me that really push forward where I could be able to create a new plan for my life. And thank you for your raw and honesty and authentic self. And I always go about it because I'm pretty big on LinkedIn and social media. And I always just say, I want this post if I can just help one person today. I don't care about the likes. I don't care about the impressions. I just want to be able to help one person just because I wish I would have been had some help when I was going through my stuff. So I want to be a lighthouse for those people that are looking
Yeah.
to be sovereign souls themselves.
If there's a medical school, if there's a company, if there's an individual organization that wants to get a hold of you and say, hey, we'd love for Johnny to come in and do a workshop, do a training with us. Do you offer that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'm going to be doing that a couple with some school districts in Kansas City and speaking with companies as well. Would love that. So you can go to thecaferaway.com, fill out a form, and now I can be able to come out and do some speaking engagements, and we can do some webinars as well. Yeah, absolutely.
And I appreciate you when I contacted you on LinkedIn. It wasn't minutes and we were talking. And I love
Absolutely.
that because
Yep.
I try to do a 2 to 3 minute
Yeah.
turnaround time on every email or text that I get. And
Absolutely.
that was awesome that you do respond. And it was like, wow, yeah, let's talk. And
Yeah,
I thought
let's
that
do
was
it.
wonderful.
Appreciate that. I really appreciate you having me on the show. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you for being so open. And I
Yeah.
want to let you know that I'd love to have you back. And I'll contact you this week and
Okay.
let you. I have my phone has just been lighting up, and it's just one after another
That's
of people saying, "Hey, fantastic! Thank you for having Johnny on." So
awesome.
there it is, the Cafaro way. It's my life, and hold it up one more time,
Yes, sir.
and there it is. I wish I looked that good on the front of my book, and I just. Johnny, thank you for being with us. God bless
you.
you. Next time on, I want to talk about how important faith was in this route because faith, I think, has to have, if we don't know the author of everything that was created, how can
Yep.
we find out how we work? So I want to talk about that also on the
Love
next
that.
program.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
it.
Appreciate it.
Like we do each and every week, I always like to end the program with this just short little verbiage of saying, "Hey, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you look like to you when you really look in the mirror, okay, what you really see with the mask off, I want to let you know from the guest tonight, from his book, from his life, his story, and just what he shared with us in this 45, 50 minutes." There's always hope. You can change the ending of your book because you hold the pen in your hand. Don't you dare give that pen to anybody else because they'll do it to please themselves and not you. It's your life. You take control and then find out what's the purpose of me being here. But never forget, there's hope and you're never alone. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome week. And again, happy Father's Day. Join us right here for another edition of a live edition in Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence next week, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Central. God bless. Good night. Thanks again, John.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1. For the next episode of Breaking the Silence.